Welcome to NWR Newscast for September 15th, 2010. I am your host this week. My name is Andy Gergen, and with us, the usual crew, we have Zach Miller.
Hello, everybody. It's cold outside now.
What's up, Zach?
It's cold outside. Is it getting outside? To be winter?
Yeah,
it's getting to be...
You live in Alaska.
Is it the 30 days of night yet?
Getting there. It's 50 degrees outside in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's awesome. I love this time of year.
No.
My favorite 2 months, September, October, hands down.
Yeah, because the fall when the snow comes. Nice and cold, but it's not too cold. Like, because it was a really, really hot summer, so I'm glad to, it's chilly now at night.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw you, Neil. We had rain for 28 days straight this summer.
Really? Dude, I'm kill for
broke,
rain. I think we
got,
like, rain
a record
once in
set
in month.
1975.
Shit.
Oh. I am not familiar with these seasons you speak of.
I hate you
those
most
those other
of
two
all.
Voices you are hearing, Neil Ronahan and Nathan Mustafa, the other
Hello.
Two voices on our newscast. Hello. We're going to mix it up a bit this week, try things in a different order, see how it goes. Feel free to leave us feedback on the website. That website, of course, is NintendoWorldReport.com.
And you can email us, newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com.
Yes, you can, and we'll probably read it. Almost definitely.
Yeah, we might
Almost
not reply,
we'll read
but we'll
your emails.
Read it.
No, we're much too busy for that. So, I'm kidding. I hope everyone realizes that I'm kidding. So, first up on the newscast this week, we're going to talk about the Activision event that Neil attended last week. So, I'm going to pass it on to Neil, who's going to probably take it on through the majority of the show, because he handles the
yes.
news, too. And that's coming up next. So, Neil,
All
take
right,
it away.
So, this Activision event, it was out in San Francisco. It was at the DNA Lounge, for anyone that gives a shit about that stuff. And there was GoldenEye 007 for Wii and DS, and Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. And which do you guys want me to start with?
The first one.
All right, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
So, GoldenEye, I got to check out a single-player level, or I got to play a single-player level, and then watch a single-player level, and then I played a bunch of multiplayer. The single-player level that I got to play was the tank level, which was really, really cool, and, I mean, while, of course, we all hold the original near and dear to our hearts, the new one was, you know, there's a lot more explosions, it's a lot more exciting, you have, like, a Gatling gun on your tank, and also a heat-seeking missile that you can shoot at airplanes and explode them.
Sweet.
And that's really cool. And I know, in the impressions that I wrote that were posted up on Monday on the website, a couple people commented about how the game's coming out in 2 months, and at this event, I was only allowed to play the tank level, which is kind of weird. But I did get to see the initial level, the dam level, which does seem pretty reminiscent of the original one, albeit it's different. And it's the kind of thing where, like, you go into it, and you're like, oh, it's the dam level from GoldenEye back on N64, and then once you start moving a little bit into level, you're like, hey, wait, this is kind of a modern shooter, which is cool. And, I mean, I think on the whole, the single-player experience of GoldenEye isn't going to, like, you know, rewrite the book on how to make a first-person shooter or anything, but I think it's going to be a real competent experience throughout the entire game, and it's going to give you a couple pangs of nostalgia throughout. But what didn't really give me pangs of nostalgia was the multiplayer, which, while fun in its own way, it's not really like GoldenEye at all. And I guess, like, I don't know, for me, to be like GoldenEye, you have to be a very dated, ugly-looking first-person shooter, which is probably what these guys would not want. And, I mean, in that respect, it's good, but, I mean, they're like, oh, multiplayer's going back to the roots. And really, all the roots that they're going back to is that, like, maybe some of the guns look similar, and it's local four-player split-screen, which a lot of shooters don't really do anymore. But it's
fun.
I'd wondered how close
they were going to stick to the original game.
Yeah, like, I was there, and one of the guys from Activision was making a comment about, like, oh, yeah, it's got facility, just like in the original. I was like, all right, let's play that. It looks nothing like the original map. And I know they can't use the exact same map, but it's like, this could have been in a completely different game, and I would have no fucking idea that this was,
could
like,
have been
oh,
whole,
look, it's
a whole different Bond game.
Yeah. Which,
I kind of feel like this whole GoldenEye experiment is just doomed to fail, because they're trying to play off nostalgia that is not going to work, because it's not the same thing. And I kind of feel like when people say they want to play a game like GoldenEye, what they really mean is they want to play games like they were when it was 1996.
So they want to play Perfect Dark.
Right.
Like, they don't really want to play GoldenEye again. They want to have fun the way they had fun in 1996.
Well, and I mean, that's why I don't think this is going to fail, personally. I don't think it's going to, you know, be like the top seller ever, but I think this game's going to sell really, really well because it's fucking GoldenEye.
You really think so?
Really, because the best thing I've heard about it yet is that it's competent, and it's not as bad as you may think it would be. Like, people think it's going to be bad, but really, it's okay. I mean, it's competent.
Well, from what I've really, seen, that doesn't... really, from what I've seen of the single player, there's nothing to... Or at least from what I've seen personally, it's... I mean, I haven't played all of it, so I can't really accurately say
right.
there, but it's good.
Right.
Like, it's not like it's competent. Like, that is a... I had a lot of fun in that tank level, and if I could play the fucking damn level, then I think I'd have fun there, too, because it looks like it's a fun first-person shooter. And, I mean, I guess the single player, more so than the multiplayer, does have that nostalgic feel, because... You know, the GoldenEye N64 single-player experience was based off of the movie, and so is this one. So it's going to have that similarity, albeit, you know, you're Daniel Craig instead of Bond, or Brosnan, I mean.
You know, I recently played the Nintendo 64 GoldenEye, and the single-player just doesn't really hold up very well.
Yeah.
I feel.
Well, I think that's the kind of thing. I think the multiplayer in the original GoldenEye kind of holds up better than
the single-player
does.
Yeah, that's the only part that's
And I think that's why there's
going to
be more of a bone of contention with people with this multiplayer. And it's not that I think the multiplayer is bad, because I could definitely see having a lot of fun with this game, and I'm really happy that it's, you know, a split-screen, four-player first-person shooter, because I've never really been that big of an online first-person shooter player.
Oh, me
I've
either.
Always liked, you know, playing with my friends in the same room, and you can do that in Halo games, you can do that in,
right.
you know, old N64 games, I think Time Splitters, you can do that. And I've always enjoyed those games more so than the games that are leveraged on the online experience, so... I'm looking forward to this game in that respect, and I don't think I'll be out there day one. I think, Zach, you're actually going to be reviewing GoldenEye Woo! Wave, so we'll see what your thoughts are on when we get that. But
I wonder what the...
I mean, depending
what
on what you say... What?
I wonder what the online infrastructure is going to be like. Do you think the graphics will take a big hit when you're online?
They haven't shown any of it. I know that the online is going to have, you know, a perk system... You can go up level, like, I think there's, like, you know, 50-some-odd levels that you can, you know, get experience for. So it's going to be,
like Call of Duty.
A Call of Duty, like, online experience. So that could be really cool. And
Hell
I know
yeah,
it's going to be different. It's
going
to be kind of different from the local experience. But they haven't really, they've talked about the online a little bit, but they haven't shown it. Which is kind of a disappointment.
Well,
And,
I guess here's my thoughts on... why this game seems like a bad idea. And I don't know, maybe call me crazy, but I kind of feel like one of the reasons that the original GoldenEye was as successful as it was had to do with its place in the current evolution of the first-person shooter. Like, at the time it was released, when it came out,
it
was sort
ground.
Of at the very forefront of the console for first-person shooter. And those people... they went to Halo, and they're still there.
They
now they're Call of Duty.
Although, to be fair,
like,
I would consider myself one of those people, and I didn't go to shit. Like, I guess I kind of played Halo, but I never played any other first-person shooter with the... Actually, no, you know where I went to? I went to Perfect Dark on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
That's where I went to.
I haven't played that yet,
I mean,
actually.
It's Perfect Dark,
kind of curious
but the frame
to try it.
Good. It's excellent.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like the success of the original game has a lot to do with that. And to just take the original game and make it again, I don't know.
I'll
that that's
be really interested
trick,
to see not necessarily
but...
the critical reaction to this, but I guess more of like the general populace reaction to this game, because it seems like a lot of people, just judging from comments on the internet, and people are like, "Holy shit! They're making a new fucking GoldenEye! I can't wait to play that shit! It's gonna be great! GoldenEye was my jam! I love that shit! I breathe that shit!" And there's a lot of people that I've heard that have had reactions like that, including friends of mine that. Are kind of people who, you know, played a lot of video games in the N64 era and then kind of stopped playing them as much. I guess you could consider them lapsed gamers, and that could be where GoldenEye succeeds, at least sales-wise.
That's very true.
I think, really, I would prefer the Perfect Dark style treatment, but I know they couldn't work that out.
Yeah. But as far as... well, I guess I'll mention another tidbit about the Wii version and then go to a little bit about the DS version. I was talking, while playing the single-player level, I was talking to whatever person from Activision that was there, did not get his name, but I made a comment about, like, so what do you think about Conduit 2 being delayed to 2011? And his reaction was, like, basically just like, oh, you know why they got delayed. It's because of our game. Which struck me as a very cocky response, but
yeah.
it made me laugh a little bit. And then I tried to, in the interview that we had with the producer in the game, tried to get him to, I guess... utter a similar response, and he basically was just like, I don't work for Sega. GoldenEye and Call of Duty are going to rule.
That's right.
But Yeah, Conduit 2 being delayed, I think Conduit 2 has like is a lot more interesting than GoldenEye.
Now, does he does that guy did that guy do you think he honestly believes that the you know, because GoldenEye is releasing right before, it's either right before or right after Black Ops, right?
Yeah, they're releasing. I don't know. It's really weird.
Really
Activision.
Think they're not going to cannibalize each other at all?
No, that's what I think I asked one of them that. You can look at the interviews that we have up. I interviewed Ted Newman from Enspace and then Graham Hagmeier from Activision. And it's weird because Activision, in November 2nd, GoldenEye Wii comes out, GoldenEye DS comes out, and James Bond Bloodstone DS comes out, along with Bloodstone for 360 and PS3. And then on November 9th, Call of Duty Black Ops Wii is coming out, and Call of Duty Black Ops DS is coming out. There are three Enspace developed Activision published games coming out in the span of a week.
Yeah, that's really
weird. That's ridiculous. And I mean, I think all three of them are going to be good games, but like, who the fuck is going to buy all of them? And that's like splitting the market more. Doesn't make any sense to me. But the DS game for GoldenEye is pretty cool. It's completely. I think they use the same screenwriter. It's the guy who originally wrote GoldenEye, made it a modern tale. GoldenEye for DS is going to be a completely built from the ground up game that has nothing really in common with the Wii version. It has the same kind of vehicle stuff. There's a tank level that's supposed to be really cool. And it has button controls, which is kind of just a different alternative from the stylus controls. And I mean, I didn't get to play too much of it. I basically only played one level, but it seems like they're doing a good job of making a good first-person shooter on the DS. And once again, it has online play that seems more reminiscent of kind of the craziness of GoldenEye than like Call of Duty. And actually, going back to the Wii version, they have all these different modifiers that you can put on, which are really cool, like a singularity, where if two players run into each other, they just explode. And move your feet, and if people stop moving, then they just die.
Nice.
But it makes it kind of interesting. Wow. I was fucking around with the singularity thing, where I would go up to people, and if you time it right, you can melee them once, and then you both blew up, and you get the credit for the kill. But I really like a lot of the modifiers that they're throwing in that, because it makes it a lot more interesting, and there's like a lot of different things you can do with it, too. I have the whole list up in the impressions that I wrote.
I hope you don't... Yeah. I hope on the DS version, I hope you don't have to tap an icon to look down the scope.
I'm trying to think. I think you could just hold the L button.
Good, that's how it was the first Call of Duty 4 game.
Yeah, but that might just be in button control, because I only played button control at the
end. I'm actually excited that there is a button control option.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, there are pros and cons to both. Like, the button control is a little awkward, because it's fucking D-pad and face buttons, so
right.
It's not like
dual
analog. Like
Turok, almost.
Yeah, but I mean, it works. It's just a little different. Like, stylus control, like, is kind of, like, you know, probably easier to use, but button control offers more precision.
Nice.
But, yeah, and I know in the GoldenEye one...
Go ahead.
In the GoldenEye DS game, there's a modifier that's a vaporizer, and it's whenever someone dies, they basically just explode.
Now, before you talk about Guitar Hero, tell me this. I'm kind of excited about Rock Band 3, and it's the most excited I've been for any music game for a long time. Will I give a shit about Guitar Hero whatever? And does Activision know that?
In all honesty, after playing Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock, I am at heart, I am a big fan of Rock Band and harmonics and everything that they do. And I've been playing a lot of the Guitar Hero games mainly because I said, oh guys, I'll review World Tour, and then I've had the instruments, so whenever a new fucking Guitar Hero games comes out, I have to review. Yeah. And I mean, Guitar Hero 5 last year was a really fucking good game. Like, I mean, I still prefer Rock Band and all, but Guitar Hero 5 was a very polished and good game, especially on the Wii. And once again this year, I think if you have a Wii, unless you're like hardcore into the pro mode and you're really excited for keyboard, if you just have a Wii, you should get the Guitar Hero game because it'll be a better experience for the Wii. I think that I think Rock Band 3 is a better experience on 360 and PS3, but I think Guitar Hero has Rock Band beat on the Wii. And I think that's also because I don't think Harmonix gives a shit about the Wii. Mm. But Yeah, but the Wii version, I mean, it's very cartoony, and it's kind of something that I criticized the series for, like, back in World Tour, is that they tried to be Rock Band, but they were just, like, super like, silly and cartoony. And it seems like this time around, instead of just dipping their toe into this cartoony realm, they just fucking jumped in. And I really like it in that regard, because it's not trying to be Rock Band, it's not trying to be, like, Guitar Hero's version of Rock Band, or, like, you know, how Guitar Hero World Tour took World Tour from the fucking single, like, the multiplayer mode in Rock Band 1. It's trying to be its own game. And for what it's doing, it's a video game, whereas Rock Band is kind of like, you know, this musical experience, if you will. And yeah. It's kind of interesting to see the big different directions that they're going in. And I think that Guitar Hero is going to find its niche for people that, you know, want ridiculously hard guitar parts and don't really care if it's realistic. For people that, you know,
I'm more interested. Yeah, I'm more interested in this one than Rock Band 3. Typically,
really?
Because Guitar Hero's music tends to stray more towards my taste.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah, so, you know, I saw Dave Mustaine's name attached to this and my ears perked up.
Yeah, he did an original song for it.
He did.
Sudden
I heard
Death,
that. He did,
which is supposed
that
to. He said it's
me.
Like the hardest song he's ever made, or some shit like that.
Yeah, I was just listening to "Killing Is My Business" on the way home. So I like Megadeth, and so anything Dave Mustaine makes, I will try this.
Yeah, I mean it's really like it's a really goofy game just in its presentation, because the whole thing is that, like,
it sounded weird.
Yeah,
like you're transforming into your, like, alter ego thing.
Yeah, I played the demo. There's a demo for the game up on 360 and PS3. Or I think it's on PS3. Ooh. I know I played it on 360. But the demo has you playing the Johnny Napalm character, which is, like, this fucking punk rocker. And, he, like, you know, after you play a couple songs, you build up, like, the stars, which is, like, kind of, like... And now you can get, like, ridiculous amounts of stars and songs because of all these different bonuses and multipliers that they have in the game. And once you get enough stars, then the character transforms, and they have this, like, goofy transformation video where basically, like, this punk rocker with mohawk turns into, like, some kind of fucked up Nightcrawler. And I think, like, other characters, like, turn into, like, oh, I think one turns into a werewolf and, like, other ridiculous shit. And what it is that each character has their own special power. And in this guy's case, it's, like, you always have a 2x multiplier. And as you know, if you have it over 3x for a certain amount of time, then you'll get an extra star. And each player has their own, I think there's 8 characters, and each one has their own specific special power that affects gameplay. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and you play all of Rush's 2012 halfway through the game, and then Dave Mustaine,
nice.
His song, which I think is called "Sudden Death," and is made exclusively for this game. That's how you close out the game. And there's like 93 songs. It's a pretty decent set list. I think depends on your musical taste. Like, personally, I'm more excited for the singular songs in Rock Band 3, but both set lists are pretty damn good. And then there's also the roadie battle mode.
I wish this had, like, the pro guitar support. I mean, obviously that's a Rock Band deal, but I would actually be more excited.
You're never going to see that in a Guitar Hero game. Sadly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because, I mean,
but,
they're all about
the
cartoony experience. The developers said it themselves. They're trying to go back to more what Guitar Hero 3 was, which was back when they were, you know, more cartoony, more like, let's make over-the-top songs instead of...
But they're also more about, like, being notoriously difficult. So you would think that they might... Maybe you want to go in that direction.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see what happens this year. I mean, who knows? Maybe the music rhythm industry will collapse after this. We don't know. But
well, it certainly looks like both franchises are finding different niches to fill.
Yeah, and I think it's really good. I mean, say what you will, if you're more excited for Rock Band 3 or Guitar Hero. I mean, they're both going in different directions, which is really the first time this has happened in the rhythm industry. And it'll be interesting to see how both games do, and if they can both, if like the market can support both, which I think is kind of proven.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back in Rock Band 1, like, yeah, they could support both, but we'll see if they still can now.
I would be happy if they just kept making the band-specific games, and then eventually hit a band that I liked, like Iron Maiden or something.
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, that's the thing, is like, with the band-specific games, everyone complains about it, but you know if they made a game based on, like, a band-specific game for your favorite band, that would be, like, the game of the year for you.
Exactly.
Like, but I guess one last note on Guitar Hero before we move off of this event, which is probably taking up too much damn time. They have the roadie battle, which is DS connectivity, with the Wii version, and that it's actually cool. Kind of cool. I think there's a trailer up online. I think Guitar Hero 5 had kind of a, I guess, a like experimental version of this, where it would only work with guitar, and you'd be basically performing little mini games on the touchscreen to like give your guy bonuses. And in this one, it's kind of a bigger part of the game, and you can play it with every instrument except for vocals. And you can have eight people, four people playing instruments and four people playing DSs with corresponding people, play the game. And how it works in this one is that you basically have like a slot machine that will then give you like different, you know, like five different bonuses that will go to different things. And then you can go into that, perform a little mini game, and then it'll give this guy a bonus where it'll be like, you know, his star power will be high, or like a streak saver, which means you can like miss a couple notes and still keep it up. And that seems pretty cool. There's also competitive stuff with the roadie battle, and you can also use the DS as a setlist manager, which is really sharp because you can just go through all the songs while like at a party or something.
Which, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about people just, oh, what do we play next? Oh, yeah. And, yeah, just change it on your own DS.
I mean, it's really, cool. I wish like just Rock Band and Guitar Hero could be the same fucking thing. Because I like what Guitar Hero is doing. I like what Rock Band is doing. But at this point, I'm way too invested in Rock Band to ever consider switching to Guitar Hero.
But you know
right,
what?
Yeah, see, I see the pro instruments, and I'm so tempted. But then I don't like any music on the Rock Band games.
But you know what? See, neither one of these games are Guitar Hero, man.
True.
I'm kind of surprised you would say that, Nathan, because there's so many more songs on a Rock Band with the Rock Band network.
Yeah, but they're not going to be promo compatible.
And like I just tend to not like the kind of music that they put on.
Well, they put on such a variety on Rock Band, really. And I mean, it's kind of like there's so much, but it's like the case of like, hey, look, guys, there's so many DS games and so many PlayStation 2 games. They must all be really good. No.
Well, I guess the same reason that you like Guitar Hero better is probably the same reason I like Rock Band better, because there's so many songs on Rock Band, they finally started to hit some of my music preferences. It took them a long time, because my shit's pretty far off the mainstream, but they did eventually hit it, and just basically out of sheer volume, they had to eventually.
They have yet to appease me, either Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Like, I have yet to see my favorite band, so...
I want my 10,000 Maniacs unplugged, baby.
Dude, I'm pretty jazzed, like, Space Oddity, Bohemian Rhapsody.
How's Bohemian Rhapsody going to perform?
What?
Bohemian Rhapsody seems like a weird choice.
Well, Bohemian Rhapsody with the vocal harmonies and a keyboard is a fucking fantastic idea.
Yeah,
on Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock, it kind of loses a little bit of the effect. Because vocal harmonies are such a big part of that song.
Oh, it's in that game, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in both games.
Hmm.
Hey, before we move on to the next news topic, I just want to give a shout-out to Insano Lord from the forums, because he just tweeted 18 minutes ago that he's listening to the NWR newscast instead of playing Halo Reach.
Fuck yeah!
When the NWR newscast DVD box set comes out, we can put Better Than Halo on the back as his quote.
Nice. I just played Reach last night. I thought it was pretty fun. And that's
I actually hate Halo. I was playing Halo 1 yesterday because I was over at my friend's house.
Nice, that's my favorite Halo.
Yeah, no, it's been a while since I played it, but I noticed that he bought the Xbox original. So the two of us were playing multiplayer together, and it was a lot of fun. And I can't remember the last time that I've had that much fun just two people playing a first person shooter.
I really liked it better.
It's great, yeah.
Wait, yeah, so you still can't play Halo 1 online, right?
I mean, I'm sure you could through some kind of tunneling, but...
You probably can on the PC, right?
On the PC version, yeah. If they retrofitted the first Halo to allow online play, I might actually get into that, because I actually did play the first one quite a bit.
Yeah, I've enjoyed all the Halo games, but... Yeah, let's move on to Nintendo stuff. So, 3DS in Japan this year? There was a tweet reportedly from some peripheral maker in Japan saying that they're going to have 11 3DS peripherals coming out on November 20th, which is a Saturday. Historically, I believe some of the recent Nintendo console releases have come out on Saturdays, including the Nintendo DSi. I think the DSi and the DSi XL both came out on Saturdays around the same time that the 3DS might come out. What say you guys?
Surprise, surprise.
That Twitter was later taken down, and a statement by the company, though, said that, we're not going to speculate.
Yep.
Question, is Black Friday a thing in Japan?
I do not know.
I doubt it.
I would assume it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess not, because they don't really
They don't have a Thanksgiving.
Like Thanksgiving.
I would assume that they don't have Thanksgiving, yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, November 20th to me seems like a very Black Friday-ish kind of date, like right before Black Friday.
I'm kind of curious. To say U.S. release?
I'm just saying if that was a thing in Japan, it might lend credence to that particular weekend, the weekend before Black Friday. But if Black Friday's not a thing in Japan, then I have no point.
It might just be get it out before the holidays really kick in earnest.
Yeah.
It's also November 20th is the same day that Kinect is coming out in Japan.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't really expect that to take off.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see that flying off the shelves.
No, I don't know.
They already don't like the Xbox.
Yeah. Right. So also going with 3DS, and this is also kind of tying into the release date debate, is EA announced a title over at TGS called My Garden, which will be a launch title for 3DS. And the reason why this ties into the launch date speculation is that I believe on at some point this morning, on EA's website for the page for this game, it had a spring 2011 release date for My Garden, which would be a launch title on the 3DS. So while that says nothing about the Japanese release date necessarily, I think that more or less confirms, or at least it doesn't really confirm, but it just lends more to the fact that 3DS ain't coming out this year. It's coming out probably March 2011.
Right.
Also, specifically that it's coming out here next year, because, I mean, EA, I can't see them making a Japanese launch title anyways. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if they mentioned, I'm fuzzy on the speech. I haven't really heard anything confirming that they said it was a launch title everywhere, or just a launch title in North America. That was a little hazy as far as like the coverage from there. But My Garden, it's going to be a launch title, and it allows players to create customized gardens by choosing from hundreds of varieties of flowers and plants and landscaping objects. You have a friendly Tanuki that guides you through missions to remodel different environments. As the garden progresses, more types of wildlife will be attracted to the plants and features. The camera is free-roaming, and in taking photos of the different creations will unlock more flowers, rarer ones. And the 3DS microphone can be used to call more birds to the garden, while a shake of the 3DS console will cause them to scatter and leave behind game coins that can be used to unlock more tools and plants. In 3D,
Animal
this
Crossing
game,
Viva Piñata.
Yeah. It's developed by EA Salt Lake, and it looks like it's going to be beautiful. On 3D, I could really see this being
a visually stunning game.
It doesn't seem like there's that much to do other than kind of just explore. It does remind me of that Animal Crossing or Viva Pinata feel.
It sounds like you have a Tanuki with you.
Yeah,
that is straight up Animal Crossing. Yeah. So.
But,
I think it's
going to
be
actually,
it's going to be one of those show off what the system can do games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will actually get I will get some hands on time with this game. And about, I think, October 5th, EA's having
it
in New York City.
I'm jealous. This looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
The screenshots they've got up.
So, I don't know if it'll be the next newscast, but maybe the one after that. I will be talking about this game, hopefully. I guess going down the news stories, MPDs came out for August, and they kind of show a cause to worry. It's the Wii's lowest sales ever in a month. What say you guys?
About time.
Yeah, this kind of just seems like it's bound to happen eventually.
Everybody has a Wii. Yeah.
I know analysts have said that they're pretty confident that sales will pick up once the holiday season goes underway. Do you guys think
I'm sure that's true.
Well, of course they'll pick up. They always pick up. Whether or not they pick up proportionally to the competition is a different question.
I think they'll be fine with the PS3. But I think 360, especially since, well, I think Halo Reach is going to sell
really
well. But is Halo Reach really going to sell more systems at this point?
No. Well, my friend Luke.
I think so.
They
just launched the new
Slims. He bought the Reach 360 with Reach.
Oh.
And Microsoft has been very sneaky. They just dropped the price on a whole year's subscription of Gold.
Yeah, and then you have to pay $60 a year after that.
Right, but you know, you see $30 and that's enough to get a lot of people's feet in the door. And the average consumer probably doesn't know that it's going up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think, I don't know. This is. I'm kind of wondering how many more holidays we're going to have the same console lineup left. I mean, I think common knowledge would indicate that Nintendo will be the first to come out with another console, but how many more holidays does the Wii have left to compete?
I don't think any. I mean, I think the Wii's going to be fine throughout the holidays this year. I don't know. I think Xbox will be kind of hard to topple. I mean, it really depends on how well Kinect does. If Kinect does well, which I don't think it will, then yeah, Xbox is going to win this holiday season. But I think if Kinect kind of flops, I think Nintendo will be back on top as far as Wii goes by the end of December.
Like but October, I do think November, that December. Nintendo's gonna have to show off new hardware next year.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, I think this confirms it. Is that I think maybe holiday season they'll be fine, but outside of that, I think Wii sales are gonna plummet because it's getting to the point where everyone has them.
Well, I mean, the console life cycle is generally about 5 years, and the Wii is about 5 years old. Just because the 360 and the PS3 are clearly going longer this time doesn't mean that Nintendo is going to go longer as well. In fact, they have more incentive not to go longer because their hardware has some aspects that are dated.
I think a lot of what Nintendo does is going to be predicated on what happens this holiday season. I think if Kinect and Move kind of take off or just collapse, then I think that's how we'll know what Nintendo will do in like E3 next year if they're going to show off a new Wii or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Regardless,
right.
We have two more holiday seasons with this Wii, I think.
I think two.
Including this one. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Right.
Like, I think we probably will have two, but I wouldn't be super shocked if some kind of new version of the Wii comes out in 2011, by the end of the year.
No, that's what the maybe 3DS is going to be for.
Well, no, 3DS seems like they've specifically said they don't want to. 3DS seems like it's going to be like 2010, 2011. We had 1 year where Game Boy Advance and GameCube came out in the same year in North America, and they were 6 months apart. I don't think Nintendo's...
That's true.
I think 3DS is pretty much a lock for Q1 2011, and that's why I wouldn't really be that... I mean, I wouldn't really be that surprised, kind of either way, if we saw maybe not a Wii 2, but maybe just a redesign or some reason to get people to go out and buy new systems, come out, you know, like Q4 2011.
They'll add a hard
drive. See, I really don't think Nintendo's going to do like a DSi to the Wii. I just don't think they'll do it.
Especially if they're going to
put new hardware out the
following year.
Yeah. Well.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they did the XL, but.
They did what? DSi, DSi XL, and 3DS.
But they've been doing this
years?
With their handhelds for years.
Handhelds
they don't really have a history of doing this with their consoles. They do have a history of doing it with their handhelds.
They redesigned the NES right before the Super Nintendo came out, and then they redesigned the Super Nintendo right before the N64 came out. But other than that,
they don't have history of doing it in the past 20 years. 15 years.
I mean, I think we're definitely going to see some kind of new system hinted at or revealed at E3 2011. I think that's pretty much a fact. We might not see it in 2011. We'll probably end up seeing it in 2012, but I think something is going to get revealed next year.
Reggie will
pull it out of his speculation. Where do you think it's going to fall on the graphical power spectrum?
Somewhere between the current Wii and the current 360.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll be two Wiis duct taped together.
Four GameCubes duct taped together.
Yeah.
Or it might be comparable to the current 360, but done without all the stupid hardware problems that they had.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to get themselves into the arm race of.
They have no reason to.
So now, do you think this permanently locks us into Nintendo is always? Now, I don't mean to say that they're a last gen system, but always, you know, graphically, almost a generation behind. Do you think they're going
to... I think you should be able to say that without it being derogatory.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it's true, it's true.
They are
they
a last
won.
Yeah.
They that won is, this fucking generation. We can say it without being derogatory.
Oh, they definitely did.
We can say it without it being derogatory. Graphically, in terms of the visual output of the system, it is a 2001 model, pretty much. Maybe not exactly.
Maybe like 2003.
Pretty damn close. And I think, yes.
Now,
do you think
is going to be a cyclical kind? Like, are we stuck in this now?
We have been. Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo has any reason to go really crazy into the graphics arm race. And also, have you guys seen those high-res shots of Wii games? It's fucking beautiful. Like, Metroid looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
in those,
yeah, definitely.
In those HD shots. And Metroid even looks really good just to begin with. I mean, yeah. I think the Wii's capable of a lot more than people give it credit. Just like the GameCube
was, developers
too.
Do with it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think even just an HD Wii would look really, really good.
Yeah. Really, I mean, all they have to do is take what it can already do and up-res it. And I think it would really, for the most part, be fine. But I will add a caveat to what you said earlier, Nathan. This is cyclical until they're no longer the top-selling game producer on the market.
Yeah.
Then
so
all
about
bets are off. Zach, you said
we've always been doing this. What do you mean?
Well, the Super Nintendo looked a little better in the Genesis, but I don't think the N64 looked any better, in some cases worse than the system.
I think
N64 at first.
I think 64 looked better than PS1. I think
but
Game
it had
Cube
performance
could
issues.
Hold its own against
it had
everything
performance
else.
Issues.
When N64 first came out, like Super Mario 64 blew the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
It blew everything
as,
away.
Right.
It was all about
continued.
The graphics.
That's about as good as the system's graphics got without experiencing terrible slowdown.
I think N64 games hold up a lot better than PlayStation 1 games.
I don't think either one hold up very well.
I mean, they both don't really hold up in the grand scheme of things, but I find it easier to go back and play N64 games than PlayStation 1 games. Like,
well,
going
then
back
you,
and playing Final Fantasy
GameCube
7 is fucking
impossible. Well,
then
you have the GameCube didn't look as good as the Xbox and many PS2 games.
Yeah.
And then,
I think the GameCube could put out stuff that looked just as good as the Xbox.
Oh, it could.
PS2.
It could.
Dude,
and so can.
Go back and play
Rogue
Leader. Rogue Leader is better than
Rogue
pretty
Leader
much
looks
every
incredible.
Game on
That's
the Wii.
True.
Yeah.
Rogue Leader.
Yeah. If you're running your GameCube progressive scan or running GameCube games progressive scan on the Wii, it looks great.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Compared to Xbox and PS2.
I agree, but the average Wii game looks worse than the average other current gen system.
Much worse, most definitely.
And that was the same with the GameCube.
Only because the GameCube wasn't elite SKU, though.
Well, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I guess that's true.
I didn't
because the GameCube technically was on par, if not above par, with those systems.
Yeah, the drop wasn't as significant.
Oh, well, that's true.
I'm going to go ahead and call a moratorium on this, because I think we just invented a feature topic out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on with the next
All right, BitTrip Fate, the fifth BitTrip game. There's only one left after this. It's going to be a rail shooter in which you control... Commander Video, the lovable scamp who leads the
that guy's
Bit
great.
Trip games.
I love that guy.
He's like on a little path, and you can troll him around. You can move him like, you know, I think it's like if you go to the right, he'll just move forward or to the right.
Yeah, it's quite literally on rails.
Yeah.
And that's the
and
joke.
It seems really cool, but the one complaint, I mean, it's a rail shooter. You know, you point at the screen and shoot. You can use the zapper. But the one weird thing about it is that it doesn't really seem to go with the music. I mean, I'm only basing this off of a trailer. I haven't gotten a chance to play the game or even look at gameplay footage. But it doesn't really seem to go with the music in the same way that the other four games did. And that kind of worries me a little bit.
Hmm.
But
you're right.
Yeah, I mean...
It seems much more centered around timing with the... like, when you have so many bullets on screen that you're dodging, it doesn't really follow that same bullet... to beat, you know, pattern as, like, BitTrip Beat did.
Yeah. But, I mean,
like,
we'll
each
see.
Bullet didn't seem like it corresponded to anything.
I got a lot of faith in those guys, so I will probably be buying this game on blind faith. Just, I mean, they did say it was the Empire Strikes Back of the BitTrip series, and they seem to mean it. So.
But what does that even mean? The dark middle chapter of the BitTrip series?
I guess at the end of it, he's going to get frozen in carbonite. That could happen.
Does this mean we get, like, Bikini Slave Leia in the next one?
Oh, maybe
nice.
Ewoks.
Bikini Video
Bikini
Man.
Bikini Slave Video? Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, you know, I saw a Zapper and the Zelda game used at a store the other day, and I didn't bother. It was $10. I was
I
like,
actually thought
too much.
Crossbow training was kind of fun.
Eh.
I agree.
It's not super good or anything, but it was worth, like, I think I paid $15 for it.
I'd buy it without the Zapper attached.
Yeah, the Zapper is just a waste of fucking space.
Here, I'll give you $10 for the game, but the Zapper comes with it. I don't want the Zapper.
Yeah, like, this is a negative value.
It's free.
Zach,
no,
you can just get Deer Captor if you want
to.
All right, so moving on to the new releases. We are going to start off with the retail releases, because there's actually a bunch of them. First off, we got Professor Layton and the Unwound Future. It's the third entry in the Professor Layton series. I reviewed it. I gave it a 9 out of 10. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's more of the same of the Professor Layton games, but it's really... I mean, there's been an improvement between the three games as far as, you know, Professor Layton 1 was good, then Professor Layton 2 did it better, and Professor Layton 3 does it even better. I mean, like, the puzzles make more sense with the story. The story's a lot cooler. There's a lot more voiceovers. There's a lot more, like, stuff going on. Although, definitely with this one, it seems like you're a lot more guided. There's a lot of just, like... Oh, go over here. Oh, shit. Wait, no, turn around. Go back. Okay. Then point your way to get back there. And, I mean, it's still fun. And
so
the story...
even more so than the Layton 2 on a train?
I mean...
Like, you're more guided than that?
It's been a while since I played Layton 2, because I also reviewed that.
I'm playing it right now just because of the Layton 3 launch, and I never got around to beating Layton 2, so...
But... I mean, in Layton 3, I guess maybe the backtracking is more arduous because you're going around like an entire, you're going up through all of London, whereas I guess the backtracking in Layton 2 was like, okay, go two cars down on the train.
Right, yeah, it's like, go to car 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it will literally just tell you, go to car 6.
And it does that
and
in this game,
I kinda
too.
Like that. I'm in it for the cool environment, the story, the puzzles.
I mean, it's kind of a minor complaint. If there is really one, but I mean the story, it's really a guided experience as the other two are, and you're basically just looking to see you know, the next clever puzzle and where the story is going to go, because the story in this one's kind of ridiculous. I'm not going to really spoil anything, as I'm sure you know. There's like future Luke comes back and it's just like, you've got to come with me to the future, and it's something about your kids, and then you go in the DeLorean. And
so it's exactly right.
Do you get to meet Sarah Connor?
No, sadly not. Unless you count, like, Flora, the chick from the first one, is like, Sarah Connor.
No, I don't count her.
It's kind of funny, because throughout
Luke
the game,
wearing
like,
one of those
like
neon
for the first,
hats?
Like... Oh, yeah, you actually find out how Layton gets the hat. And you find out a lot about Layton's past. It's really cool. Like, if you're into the story...
Does he have
all,
a really dark past?
Well...
I hope he does.
I'm not going to spoil it. I won't tell you anything, but...
He's secretly
I will say
robot.
That it's funny what they do with the Flora character for anyone who doesn't remember her. She was like the girl from the first one, and then the second one she kind of plays a minor role. And since the in the second and third one, like the second one, they kind of just like, it's like she's kidnapped at one point, and they're just like, you stay here. And then the third one, they just straight up forget about her for like 4 hours, and then like you find her and she's like, where have you guys been? Like, I've been worried. And they're like, oh shit, we gotta lose Flora again, guys. And like then Layton and Luke trick her, but then she finds them again and tags along. And they're like, well, maybe you should stay here because you're a girl. And she's like, no, I'm coming with you. And it basically just goes on like this for the entire game. It's kind of funny.
Does she... What's her name?
Flora.
Does she have a brother named Fauna?
Not yet. And I think that's as good a time as ever to move on to the next game on the list, which is Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, published by Activision, developed by Beenox on the Wii and Griptonite Games on the DS. We have interviews with a person from both the Beenox and Griptonite. The Wii version seems pretty cool. I've been playing the 360 version, actually, which I will not be reviewing for the site. I believe whenever we get a review copy for the Wii version, Zach will be reviewing that. But it's kind of cool. You know, there's four different Spider-Men that you can play as. They all play a little bit different, but it seems like it's a pretty cool game. And the DS version is more Metroidvania goodness.
Nice.
Yay. That's awesome.
Batman Brave and the Bold, published by Warner Brothers, developed by Way Forward, for Wii and DS. Zach?
Oh my gosh, I want this badly.
Yeah, the animation in this game looks beautiful. Yes. They're both pretty much beat-em-ups, both the Wii and the DS version. They're different, though, from what I hear. And they look beautiful.
And they have voices from the show and everything.
Yeah. You know, Dieter
and
Bader.
There's connectivity.
Yeah, you can play as Batmite in the Wii version. But it's kind of funny. I played it at E3, and the developer, or whoever was at the booth, was showing me the Batmite stuff. And when you control Batmite, you can, like, draw, like, anvils and stuff that will drop down, and you can basically, like, hurt, or you can basically, like, just grief whoever is playing on the Wii.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a lot of fun. Next on the list is NHL Slapshot for Wii. It's an EA Sports game developed by EA Canada. It comes with this goofy peripheral. I'm actually reviewing this. There should be a review up soon. Where it's like a hockey stick, and it kind of works really well. It's like, what if there was a Wii Sports game that was like hockey, I think this would be it. And surprise, surprise, there's also like a full-fledged, like fucking like season mode for the NHL, and you have full NHL rosters. And there's also all this, like, you can play like Pee Wee and Bantam and like CHL and shit like that too. So there's a lot of different ways you can play hockey, and I think the hockey stick controls work really well. It's a pretty cool game.
Do they have the they have that be the player mode from the NHL games these days?
Not kind of, but not really. It's called I think Pee Wee to Pro, and what it is, you create a character. You can you know, any position, even goalie. I haven't actually tried the goalie one yet. I've been meaning to. But you play as a character, and you start off in Pee Wee, and then you basically play like a little short season. And along the way, you like build up like experience points for your character and make them better. You can get like different boosts and stuff that then make your character better. And then at the end of like the Pee Wee season, then you can move up to Bantam, and then like up to CHL, and then up to the NHL. It's a pretty cool progression. It just seems like it takes a little too long, because you start off in Pee Wee, and I think most people that play the game are going to want to play in the NHL. And it's kind of like the progression to get to the NHL takes way too long. But it's cool. And also on the docket, we got Lord of the Rings Aragorn's Quest for Wii and DS. The Wii version is developed by Headstrong Games, and the DS version I think is TT Fusion or something like that. But we got a review copy for the Wii version. It's on the way in the mail to Pedro, so he will be talking about that soon in a review. Aragorn's Quest, for anyone who doesn't know, it was in development hell, kind of. It was at E3 2009, and I think Zach will agree with me when it was kind of shitty at E3 2009. I think there were a lot of good ideas there, but it was just executed really poorly. I played it at E3 2010, and it was a lot better. It's still a very cartoony and kids, like, kids game. It's got very cartoony graphics, and it seems deliberately made for kids. That's the demographic for the game. But it looks like it's a very well-put-together kids game.
Does it at least look better than it did in 09? Because it looked like a PS1 game in 09.
Oh, it definitely looked a lot better. I mean, albeit, you know, that was... I'm now reflecting on stuff that has happened, I guess, a year and 3 months ago, and 3 months ago. But definitely it looked a lot better. And,
right on.
I'm excited to see what Headstrong's going to do next. I'm hoping that my my rumor, or my my scoop of an Overkill 2 actually happens, which, from what I've heard, it's still going to happen, guys. It's just a matter of time. And Overkill 1 is supposedly coming to the move. Yeah. The last game on this list is Scooby-Doo and the Spooky Swamp. There's a Wii and DS version. I know the Wii version is developed by Taurus Games. It's Scooby-Doo. It's kind of like a Lego Star Wars game, but with Scooby-Doo.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Yay.
That's the retail releases.
Okay.
And now we're going to move.
Fairly decent list.
Yeah, and we have more on the way. Like, it's just getting more ridiculous from here, guys. Although I think the second half of September might be a little light, but then we start getting into, like...
That's fine. Like, we're getting towards Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Like, you know, we got... less than a month until Kirby's Epic Yarn, NBA Jam's coming out on October 5th. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Epic Mickey got a release date. I guess it's kind of news, but not really. November 30th. I don't think anyone's really shocked.
No.
No.
But now we're going to move on to a innovative and radical segment, which I guess kind of takes its origins from the angry, pissed off, like, very, very angry blog post that I wrote this week called This Week in Awful Downloads.
That was so
in which
great.
I talk about how the Nintendo downloads for like the past 2 months have just been utter shit. There's been a couple good games here or there, and when I was researching for the blog post, I did notice, you know, like Dive came out, Furry Legends looked kind of cool, and apparently it was. But other than that, it's just like not just like, oh, maybe that's mildly interesting, just utter shit seems to be coming out. So we're not going to give them that much time. What we are going to do over the span of however this gets edited, We're just going to read verbatim, very quickly, the little paragraphs of each game. So we're going to rotate, and I'm going to start off with the first one. Fenimore Fillmore, The Westerner, publisher of Registronic, Players 1, ESRB, rating E, everyone, cartoon, violence, modeling, use of alcohol, and tobacco, price 1,000 weak points, description, welcome to the West, come to the best, come back, and visit a typical Western town, the Grand Saloon, a Sheridan's, and Bank, to meet the classic doctor, powerful master of land, industrious pioneer, and men and women who raised a great nation with their blood, sweat, and tears, but there are things that cannot be helped, but one of them, very typical in the West, is the difference between farmers and cattle ranchers, while farmers who split the most people, cattle ranchers had more money, more men, and more power, only a cowboy's goer, Fenimore Fillmore, consigned to farmers, but the rest of the cowboys are paid by the solicitors, instead of cattle ranchers.
Adventure on Lost Island, Hidden Object Game. From 18 Inc. Only for players, ESRB rated E for everyone, 500 V points. Discover hidden object fun for kids and adults. Quickly, find items in every stage to complete this adventure. Work together or compete in each stage to find items and help game's hero find a way home. From seashells to sparkling jewels, do your best to find all the hidden objects as fast as you can. During this adventure, you will also confront guests, ghosts, and a dragon in action stage. Each stage can be played by up to 4 players for great gaming fun.
Now we start up with Nintendo DSiWare and Simply Mahjong by Engine Software. Players 1, ESRB rating E, 200 DSi points. Simply Mahjong gives you exactly what you want. Pure Mahjong on your Nintendo DSi system. Mahjong is a Chinese tile matching game. The tiles are arranged with a special pattern, with their faces upwards. The tile is to be open if it can be moved either left or right without disturbing other tiles. The goal is to match pairs of identical tiles. The game is finished when all pairs of tiles have been removed from the board or there are no exposed pairs remaining. The simple game design and easy intuitive controls make it a game the whole family can enjoy. The game features 50 puzzles in each level to provide hours of fun.
My Exotic Farm, published by Bit Media. For 1 to 2 players, rated E for everyone, 200 Nintendo DSi points. My Exotic Farm is an exotic farm simulation game. In the beginning, all you own is an empty field and a few pennies and a single parrot. If you feed and take care of it, the parrot will make feathers that can be sold. With this money, you can buy new animals at a farmer's market and purchase equipment from the shopkeeper. Little by little, as your farm builds up, you will unlock bonuses including a bell, a great green macaw, a guard dog, and a 4x4. You can also exchange animals with your friends who play My Farm or My Exotic Farm.
Music on, colon, acoustic guitar. Published by Aguilite for 1 player, E for everyone, and 200 Nintendo DSi points. It's like having an acoustic guitar in your pocket, let your favorite songs easily creep by or often enjoy the high sound quality. Your fingers on the frets and the nails while strumming. A directory of more than 900 chords show you how to place your fingers on a real guitar unless you listen to them when selected. Five styles will accompany you to set the mood. Pop rock, soft rock, country, ballad, and blues. Other features include a palm mute function, a metronome, and the ability to save up to 10 sessions.
Castle Conqueror from Circle Entertainment, 1 player, rated E for everyone, 500 DSi points. Castle Conqueror is a real-time strategy game for casual gamers. You play as a commander who must resist the Empire and save the lives of the people. Lead your soldiers into battle, seize the enemy's castle, and gain victories until you destroy the Empire on the mainland. Rules are simple. Use a silo and a touchscreen to select the player's castle, and send your army to storm the enemy's castle in real time. Capture the castle and destroy your enemies to earn gold that can be used to upgrade your commander's abilities, and to buy items that will help you win more battles. Select commanders and different cards to upgrade your army or castle. If you manage to occupy the enemy's castle by the end of the battle, you win the game!
Crazy Pinball. DDP Entertainment, 1 player, E for everyone, 500 DSi points. Find fun pinball action, just like at the arcade. 5 fantastic tables and plenty of themes ensure awesome variety. Go hunting for points with the Safari Flipper, or zoom from one goal to the next with the incredible Deep Sea Flipper. Set records that will blow your friends away. Crazy Pinball is the ultimate portable pinball experience.
My Notebook, Tan, publisher, no! Players 1, price, far too expensive at 500 DSi points. My Notebook allows you to take notes wherever you are. Just pop open your Nintendo DSi system and jot down your thoughts. Make a list and cross it off, or even play your favorite pen and paper games. Games not included. You can personalize your notebook by drawing in the cover, or by changing the paper type with 24 unlockable square and line paper styles. Use a pen and pencil to make notes, or doodles, and then erase the bits you don't like. With 5 ink colors, you'll always be able to make your notes and doodles look stylish. My Notebook also includes 128 pages to write on, plus the ability to export your pages to your Nintendo DSi photo album.
And finally,
My Notebook Maroon.
we have one virtual console title. Samurai Showdown 3. Original platform, then Yoshio, published by D4 Enterprise for 1 to 2 players. Rated E for teen, blood, use of tobacco, and violence. It's 900 Wii points. This is a fighting game released in 1995 as a sequel to the previous year's release of Samurai Showdown 2. Hey, Samurai Showdown 2 is spelled with a W between the O and the D, and there is not
yes,
that.
Yes, they're spelled differently.
What?
Yes. Alright. They're spelled differently.
It's weird.
Here.
Though this is the third installment in the series, and the story takes place between the first and second installments. So I guess it's looking cool. Players can choose from 12 samurai seeking to defeat Zenkuro Mizuki. Along with minor upgrades from the last version, such as the ability to press buttons to fill your rage gauge, and the ability to defend in mid-air, you can also select from slash and bust personality types for each character. Each type has its own set of special moves you can take advantage of, effectively doubling the amount of characters you can play. Consider
fun.
This our form of the Excite Strike, because, like, this shit is ridiculous. We've been dealing with this crap all summer. Come on, Nintendo.
Yep.
Give us something good to discuss. Like, this doesn't happen
You take a look at this, and then you take a look at Xbox Live Arcade, and it is shameful.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, there was a time where I would defend WiiWare and DSiWare. I did 2 fucking features on each system, because there are a lot of good games on WiiWare and DSiWare. There haven't been many good games in the past 6 months. Like, I think the last good hurrah for WiiWare was fucking the month that we got Mega Man and Cave Story.
Cave Story.
But...
we haven't done a game club since then.
Because
mainly because there hasn't been any.
I mean, there's been
playing.
A couple like Dive was cool, Furry Legends was interesting, but on the whole, it's just a lot of shit, and I'm sick and tired of this crap. As being a zealot for DSiWare especially, like, I'm just annoyed. And I'm basically repeating my blog, but fuck it.
Hey, Neil, is that an acoustic guitar in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
No, actually, it's a notebook.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
someone who cares more than I do, go listen to the past couple newscasts, or at least maybe we can dig up the show notes. There has been a fucking My Notebook game for the past 4 episodes.
Yes, there has.
Am I crazy, or were the previous 9 My Notebook games come with more than one color? I was thinking, like, the earlier ones had, like, 3 colors.
No, there's, like, My Notebook green, red, platinum, gold, silver.
Black and white.
Okay.
Fire red, leaf green.
I think we've had a music on game for the past 4 episodes, too. So those are different. Like the music on games.
It seems like you could make those qualitatively different.
And they're only $2, but the fucking My Notebook games, like, this shit has got to stop. I understand, you're probably making a shit ton of money, and that's
probably
good for
not.
You.
At this point, do you think they are?
Well, yeah, because they're releasing the same game with a minor
do
difference.
Do we have numbers that reflect
we'll
have
to try to check. I've heard stuff that's
been
selling
well. I feel like we always
just
assume that they are.
No, I'm pretty sure they've said as much, but I'm not 100% sure. If someone wants to back me up in the forums, that'd be cool.
I'm curious.
At
least we're not getting the Flips series from EA anymore. Yeah. No more.
But at least those were different games.
At least they were different games. This is very true. Very true.
Like, this was supposed to be a quickie. We're running over an hour.
that last segment will be condensed.
Yeah.
Remember.
We're going to call it a shorter episode than usual this week, mainly because we're got a little bit of a little bit of scheduling conflicts on my part for editing. Nathan will be handling the editing for this one, so you can thank him when it sounds better than usual. But yeah, that's all we got. No, what you're reviewing this week because we just didn't have time for it. We've already talked about Layton, and that was the biggest game that we had to talk about for review. Yeah. Go read Zach's review of... What was it again, Zach? Sega Action?
The name of the game is actually L.A. Machine Guns... Gunblade NY and L.A. Machine Guns, like, Arcade Hits Pack or something.
Yeah, Arcade Hits Pack.
I had to correct that when I was editing your review, because your review, it had this weird fucking title that was like, Sega Arcade Hits Pack, which is not the name of the game.
I like it that the title of the Wii game includes both full titles of the separate games. So it's like NY Gunblade something 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 and LA Machine Guns Rise of the Machines.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll have a more standard episode next time, I would imagine. Yeah. But for the NWR Newscast crew, thanks for stopping in, listening to us talk about games.
I will not be talking about My Garden 3DS, but I'm actually going to check out Tron Evolution Wii and Epic Mickey tomorrow. So
nice.
Tron Evolution Wii is cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played it yet. But
I played it at E3. I'm kind of more excited to go check out Tron Evolution Wii than Epic Mickey tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm more excited.
I'm excited
about
to see
it too.
Both games. But Tron Evolution looks really cool, and I was talking to the guy at Nspace. Who was at the GoldenEye event, because Nspace developed the DS version, and I wound up talking to him about Tron Evolution probably more than we should have at a GoldenEye event, but I'm really excited for that game.
Nice. All right, well, that'll do it for NWR Newscast episode, what is it, 26?
Something like that.
26. All right, thanks all right, everyone.
Later.
Night.
Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
And Fillmore film on the Westerner. Welcome to the West Comes, see the fastest cowboy in action. Only a cowboy as peculiar as Fenimore Fillmore can side with the farmers when the rest of the cowboys are paid by the merciless and sinister cattle ranger. Adventures on the silent, hidden object game. Discover hidden object, fun for kids and adults. Each stage can be played by the four players for great gaming fun. Peace I wear! Simply Mahjong, Simply Mahjong gives you exactly what you want for your Mahjong unit. No DSI system. Mahjong is a Chinese style matching game. You can feature 3D puzzles in each level to provide hours of fun. My exotic farm, my exotic farm is an exotic farm simulation game. You can also exchange animals with your friends to play my farm, my exotic farm. Music on acoustic guitar. It's like having an acoustic guitar in your pocket. The features include bomb, function, and ability to save up to 10 seconds. Cast a conqueror, cast a conqueror is a built-in strategy game for casual gamers. If you manage to occupy the enemy's castle by the end of the battle, you win the game. Create a pinball. Find fun pinball action, just like the arcade. Take records, pull your friends away. Because pinball is the ultimate portable pinball experience. My notebook and from no software. My notebook allows you to take notes wherever you are. My notebook also includes 128 pages to write out, plus the ability to sort pages to your Nintendo DSi Wild Virtual console. This is a fighting game released in 1995 genre showdown. A sequel to the previous year's release with Hammer Shot 2. Each side has its own special moves.